So this summer we've had a variety of sermon series, and each one has had a key theme and a key verse related to the week, and hopefully you've gotten your business card for the week to tuck away somewhere. And feel free to take extras, by the way, to pass around to people in your sphere of influence, your neighbors, people at work, etc., so that they can ponder the theme for the week as well. And underneath all of these series, really, there's one underlying thought, and it comes from Proverbs. As you think in your heart, so it is. The way you decide to focus on things, that is how it is. But you're free in Christ to decide how you're going to think about things, right? So your attitude, you can decide about that. You can decide about how you're going to think about the various things that are going on around you and interpret them. And so sometimes it means repeating something that seems like a lie to you, like this. Say this with me, the theme. I am enriched by differences. One more time. I am enriched by differences. Like, that may seem like a big fat lie, but the longer you repeat it and live into that reality, the more true it becomes. See? Right? So, we're going to come back to that later. But as Emily tells me to do when I'm closing in on a challenging subject, I want you to maybe mentally uncross your arms as we discuss this today. I'll invite your openness to discuss this theme. As you know, the population of Houston no longer has a majority ethnic population, right? It's the most culturally diverse city in the country, and we can be proud of that. But it creates challenges also. We're faced with all sorts of conflicts over race and culture. Across the country, you know, we're faced with the police shootings of black citizens. And now this weekend, we're dealing with the shooting of a white sheriff's deputy in Houston. Oh, all these tensions and scenes, these kind of scenes like this are common, aren't they? But after all, wouldn't it be nice if adults looked more like this with one another in dealing with our differences, huh? Because you know what this is? This picture, it better demonstrates this, God's design for difference. And where do you find that? All the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, the very first chapter, God creates some stuff, and then he says something about it. He says, it is, yes. Then he creates some more stuff, and then he says, it is. Then he creates a bunch more creatures and things, and he says, it is. Then he creates human beings, the crown of creation, and what does he say about them? It's? Yeah, yeah. That's God's design for difference, see? Now, you know, we've come a long way, I think, in race relations in this country from 1960s. This is a scene from the anti-immigration protest. You see some of the signs, race mixing is communism, etc. You can see that. It's a whole lot different from what you can see in about any school in our community now that looks more like this. You know, this is a common scene. Kids of different cultures connecting and being friends. Isn't that right? Yeah, and that's a good news. That is such good news. You wouldn't have seen this 50, 60 years ago, I'll tell you, but we see it now. Still, we have a long, long way to go. This fall, there's going to be a series on Wednesday nights here at church at 7 o'clock where we're going to study the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's social vision statements, and one of them is called Freed in Christ, Race, Ethnicity, and Culture. There's going to be others as well. But I'm going to invite you to be part of those conversations. It's an hour and a half during our Wednesday night learning night, and there's an article in the Lutheran magazine in July about race challenges and our challenges as a church is in affirming diversity. A lot of opportunities for us to learn. So what gets in the way of our being enriched by God's design for difference? Well, there's one little word that keeps coming up, in my view. Biases. We all have our biases, don't we? And there, a lot of them are just automatic. We don't even think about them. We learn them based on our own upbringing and our own experiences, didn't we? It's not something we're born with. They shape our attitudes and our ways of relating to people who are different from us. You know, when Emily and I first got together, it was really interesting. She would come to Eau Claire, Wisconsin with my family. And my family, there can be 15 people in the room. They all talk at the same time. very loud. And even when we're all agreeing, we sound like we're fighting, you know. And Emily, poor thing, she'd have to go take a nap after an hour of this stuff, you know. Now, it's interesting. So I went to Kansas City to be with her family, and I was just so shocked. You could have 15 people in a room, one person would be talking, and everybody would actually listen to them. What a strange concept. You hear what I'm saying? Not right or wrong, just different, right? Yeah, okay. Well, the same is true for the church. Even with Paul's vision for a church that is diverse and inclusive, but still one, that's the Bible passage for the week for you guys, it's a well-known fact that Sunday morning worship in the United States is the most segregated hour of the week. It still is. And we have churches dying all over the place due to their difficulty embracing the changing communities and cultures in their neighborhoods. Their difficulty witnessing to the gospel in a new time and place with new people, because that is our call. One of those churches is Emmanuel Lutheran Church that I served in Central City, Milwaukee for 10 years back in the 80s. And bless their hearts, this once Norwegian settlement on the near south side, they loved their Lutefisken Lefse dinner, and they did a great job with it. They had this beautiful a cappella choir that sang those old Norwegian hymns so beautifully. They did do some stuff in the neighborhood. They worked at it. They had a food bank. They did some social services. They invited people to come join them. We actually did Cinco de Mayo one year instead of Sitting de Mayo, which was a huge thing, you know. And you know what? There was a challenge for them. They could never grasp the diversity of cultures and embrace those differences in cultures of those new neighbors. See, their idea of integrating new members into the congregation was, come learn about how to do Lutefisken Lefse with us and learn our hymns and you'll fit right in. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know what's happening as a result? I love that congregation. It breaks my heart. Their last service is going to be November 1st, All Saints Day this fall. They just couldn't commute. They couldn't communicate and connect with their community, so they're shutting down. It's very sad. Because there's still just as many people living in that neighborhood who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ as there ever were, just different cultures. See, and you know, one of the things I remember people saying at Emmanuel years ago was, you know, we don't see color, we're colorblind. You know what I realized about colorblind when people say we're colorblind? It means they only see in black and white. Think about it. You only see in black and white. You don't see the diversity and the richness of the colors around us. Just think about that when you say we're colorblind. Well, how many of you... Oh, the good news is this. Biases. These are things we learn. We're not born with them. Like those babies you saw, they don't have biases. They're learned, so the good news is they can be unlearned. There. It might be challenging, but we can unlearn these. Now, how many of you have been on mission trips with the youth of the church? Or, okay, how many? Raise your hands if you've been on mission trips. Or if you've been to Peru, raise your hand, or to another mission trip. Okay. Those of you who went on the Peru mission trips, you know that you were trained by Peggy Hahn from our Gulf Coast Synod office in cultural diversity and how to be open to a new culture. And she uses this image a lot in her training. This is an iceberg, and you can see the tip of the iceberg at the top and the water line there. See that little wavy line? But as you know, most of the iceberg is underwater. You don't see it, right? She says, this is how it is with cultural differences. What are some of the cultural differences that are obvious that you can see? What are some things that you notice about different cultures? They're obvious. Pardon? What you see, like what?
Skin color.
Skin color, clothing. Language, what else? Food, yes.
Dances,
all sorts of things like that. And we see those and we can celebrate those fairly easily, right? However, look what's underneath the surface that you have to be open to be able to really understand the culture. Beliefs, values, thought patterns, myths, how people interact in families, how they resolve conflicts, all, and how they see money and resources, financial and material resources, are all, and how they view time. are all under the surface. And it's so easy for us to judge somebody else because we don't understand their difference of values. I remember I took a youth group on a mission trip to Rosebud Indian Reservation. This is back in the 70s when the Red Revolution was going on. And we were out at Rosebud, and they promised every day that they would bring out some folks to do a dance for us, you know, and do a powwow for us. And they kept saying, yeah, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And I just was getting so irritated. I go back into town, I talk to the tribal chief, and oh, yeah, tomorrow. I see, and I just got mad. They're lying to me. No, they weren't. Their understanding of tomorrow is, if it happens, it happens. See? And, you know, it would be easy for as an Anglo, to judge that. You hear what I'm saying? But there's some value to if it happens. Yeah. See? All right. Well, but we can learn about these things and appreciate them, and we aren't going to get anywhere in deepening our relationships and experiencing and being enriched by differences unless we can get under the surface. Back when our daughter Rachel was considering going on a Rotary Youth Exchange to Japan, there was really good training. By the way, you kids and parents, if you have kids who are interested in doing global studies, it's very cheap, and the Rotary is the best organization for training the guests and the home families. One of the things they did with us before we received our Japanese exchange student and before Rachel went is they had us play this card game. Eight people were at each round table, and they said, now here's what we're doing. We're going to hand out the instructions for each one of you to read. Each of you individually has instructions. You're going to read those without commenting, no questions asked. We'll give you 2 minutes to read them, and then this game is going to be played in silence. You cannot use words, right? And then there were some things about when you're done with this set, then the four highest scored people go to the next table and the others stay here. So we did that, did the first round in silence, and Emily was the card dealer at our table. You know, she was assigned to that, whatever. So the new people, four new people came to our table, and they would not follow the rules. It was just interesting. She was dealing cards out, and then they'd grab more cards, and they'd do this and that, and then they'd kind of grin and smile while they were cheating, you know, just right in front of everybody. And she was getting so mad. I was so glad that she wasn't packed on that day. Then we were done with that set, and then the leader said, okay, let's talk about what happened with this card game. How did it go? And there were people all over the room who were just furious, like Emily was, that people were breaking the rules in the second set. And we went on about that and what that was like, and you know what? They finally said, well, here's what happened. Each table had a different set of rules. Got that? And when we come across and encounter different cultures, they have different rules, but you just don't necessarily see them. And we need to humbly acknowledge in God's design for difference, there's all sorts of things that can be different that can enrich us when we are open to them, when we're willing to learn and uncross our arms and learn. So how do we embrace differences? Emily, the other night, our dog Augie, who's an Australian Shepherd, he's such a character, he thinks he has to comment on everything, you know. And so we were in the backyard after dark one night, and there were people walking down the street, and he thinks he has to go bark at them as they walk down on the other side of our fence, right? So Emily said, Augie, you can notice, but you don't have to comment on everything. You don't have to have an opinion on everything, you know. Well, so some openness. Well, one of the first things to do if you want to embrace and be enriched by God's design for difference, spend time with people different from you. Make an intentional effort to do that. You have people at work that you can get to know. 24-hour fitness. You can find them here at church and other places in the community. Back when I was at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, at a certain point, all the inner-city churches of Milwaukee Lutheran churches banded together in a coalition so we could learn better how to do ministry in our neighborhoods, right? And we had enough money among us to call a director of urban ministry, and his name was Clarence Pettit, a black guy from Tacoma, Washington, full of energy, networker up the wazoo, and Clarence lived with us in our house for 6 months while he was getting situated in Milwaukee. I learned a lot from Clarence in his living with us during that time. And one Saturday morning, he took me to breakfast. He said, I want to just take you out to breakfast. And we went to, if you know Milwaukee, he took me to the corner of 17th and Atkinson, which is the near north side, which is the heart of the black community in Milwaukee, Perkins Restaurant. And it's historically, maybe for 80 years, it's been the center for African-American leaders to gather for breakfast on Saturdays. And so he took me in there and introduced me to people. He knew half the people. And we sat down to have breakfast, and I started to become aware I'm the only white person in this whole restaurant. You know, they were treating me just fine, welcoming and all that, but I felt so out of place. I felt so uncomfortable, I wanted to slide under the table. You know what I mean? Have you ever had that experience? And then Clarence just kept chatting with me and other people, and at the end of breakfast, we got back in the car, and he said, well, how do you feel? And I said, not real good. And he said, well, now you know how I feel when I'm in your situation, when I'm in your culture. Hear what I'm saying? We need to grow in our understanding and our discomfort sometimes to appreciate and be enriched by all the differences in God's design. So that is a challenge for us. Now, other ways that we can do that, like I said, uncross our arms and open up. When Emily and I moved to Texas here, 5 years ago it's been now, it's amazing, and it's been great. She said this, she has a lot of wisdom. We're going to go to there and we're going to be open to the whole culture, like we're moving to a different country, because that's what it's like. Yeah. And so she said, we're going to be just curious and non-judgmental. We're just going to be curious about how people interact, what they do, how they eat, you know, what they're doing and how they see things, and the climate as well. Well, that was the first year, you know, that huge drought. It was an incredibly tough summer, but we just lived with that. We're going to just appreciate everything, including the heat. And, you know, it's made such a difference to be able to have experiences. And, of course, we've tripped up on the Texas culture sometimes and done the wrong things. Yeah, that's happened. But what a gift that is when you are willing to be open like that. And then we can embrace God's design for difference. That's what it's about, and be enriched by it. You know, so it comes down to that. How do we get ourselves in alignment with what God has already going on? That's what's happening, guys. Overcome our own judgments, our fears, our anxieties, and be participating in what God has already going on all the time without having to be so threatened and judgmental. Right? Seeing differences, how God sees differences, as interesting, empowering, nurturing, deepening, enriching. Say it with me. I'm enriched by God's difference. There you go. And then, this is already the reality, this Bible verse underneath, it's not like you should be this way. This is not a should Bible verse that you're going to look at this week. This is a reality. This is a divine reality. In the kingdom of God, it's already real. Okay? Creation started this way, and we may not be experiencing it every day now as being totally real, but it is real in the kingdom of the heavens. When you come to this altar for communion, when you're baptized, you belong to this community that is what? In Christ, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, whatever, you're all the same in Jesus Christ. Different and diverse, but all one. We all belong in Jesus Christ, and that's already true now and completely in the kingdom of the heavens.